to talk about the Yankees, we bring in Brendan Cuddy from the Ledger. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing better than the Yankees right now. That's not hard to do, though. I mean, the things are looking really rough with the Red Sox coming in on Tuesday.
Yeah, Yankees, first time in 37 years, they lost the first three series of the year at home. So that's not something that you expect out of the Yankees. And especially when we saw the season, opening series, and we thought, well, the Yankees get to fatten up on the types of teams that if they were going to win the division, they needed to beat the Orioles, the White Sox, the Tigers. And yet here are the Yankees languishing and playing a pretty bad brand of baseball. How much of this, the big picture question that everybody's trying to figure out, how much of this are all the incredible injuries that they've had? And how much of this is just, should we be expecting better baseball from them?
It's so easy to say that this is all and totally because of all of the Yankees injuries. Now, the biggest parts of their lineup are on the injured list, and you don't really come back from those things typically, except the Yankees have a lot of depth. If you look at the lineup the Yankees put out there today, it's not great, but it's enough to beat the White Sox. It's enough to beat the Orioles. It's enough to be at least competitive with the Astros. You still have Aaron Judge. You still have Luke Voit, who's popping one out every now and then. Clint Frazier has been hitting well.
DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu has been out of his mind. The Yankees and their injuries are a problem, but there's enough talent on the field to at least give them a fighting shot. And Luke Voit said it, probably said it best today. After the game, he says, we should beat the White Sox, flat out. You got Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge offering platitudes, being, right down the middle, being politically correct. And you got Luke Voit out here saying, hey, man, this isn't going to cut it. We should beat the White Sox.
All right, so you mentioned Aaron Boone spewing platitudes, and I heard the post-game presser as well, and he's Mr. Positivity, Mr. Hey, we're close, and the guys are still confident and all that kind of stuff. Flip side is, for Yankee fans, you see a guy like White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper come out to the mound in the middle of the game on Sunday and look at his pitcher, Carlos Rodon, and he didn't yell and scream to the point of humiliating the guy, but that was a stern talking to that he gave him, and suddenly something kicked in. And so is it time? Do the Yankees need a little bit more of that Don Cooperism?
I don't know about that. So when I say that Boone's giving platitudes, I mean, platitudes work. They exist for a reason. They kind of, they sum up things well, and they don't offend anybody. And I think that's kind of the plan here with a guy like Aaron Boone. He's very, warm, very welcoming, very engaging. The Yankees know what they have in him. They don't expect him to go crazy Joe Girardi on a whim. They don't expect Aaron Judge to be yanking guys around in the dugout at all. I think that if it's not in Boone's personality, if it's not in Larry Rothschild's personality or Marcus Thames' personality, the hitting coach, to go nuts on a player who's underperforming, then it's going to come off as disingenuous. And if it's really out of character for them, you wonder if that just turns off the rest of the team. Maybe this White Sox coach, maybe this is his thing. This is what he does behind closed doors. I don't get the impression that this is what Aaron Boone is like behind closed doors, and they really kind of, I think, probably rub players the wrong way.
I hear you. And look, Don Cooper is a terrific pitching coach, has been for years with the White Sox, but maybe, so here's a question. Is it a flawed plan if everyone on the pitching staff, on the coaching staff, are all kind of more of those, mellower, nice guys, in a way that I'm not saying anybody should be mean, but, I think back to the Yankees and, you need to have somebody, and whether that was a Paul O'Neill personality or a Jorge Posada personality, that you have somebody who's a little, who balances a Derek Jeter, that there's some fieriness in there. And similarly, if you look at a coaching staff, if you know you have an Aaron Boone, then don't you need somebody who can be a little bit more of, you know, that Larry Boa type of personality, or somebody who's a little more fiery for when the, you know, when you do need somebody to come in and shake things up?
Yeah, I guess so. And if I had to point out someone on the Yankees coaching staff who has that in him, it'd be Phil Nevin.
Mm-hmm.
I think Phil Nevin is definitely the intense, you know, strong personality type. But I also think that he kind of, I think he knows his role as a third base coach.
Mm-hmm.
He probably doesn't, maybe he doesn't feel empowered, or maybe it's just not in him to be doing that kinds of stuff, or maybe that's not his job. But, you know, maybe Luke Voit could be that guy for the Yankees. You saw him today,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily calling out his team, but, you know, speaking to their frustration, you know, putting a face on how upset they are. There are players in the Yankees clubhouse who could do more of that stuff and who should do more of that stuff. And you wonder maybe if Aaron Judge, in his first time really dealing with losing, and if this gets extended, you wonder if maybe he becomes that guy. He shows a little bit more fire, even though, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to, considering he's producing.
Yeah, speaking of Aaron Judge and producing, I don't want to be lost in all of this. Is while we're seeing a lot of poor play out of the Yankees and a lot of injury, is, you know, it's just his defense in particular, it just remains to be remarkable. You know, here's a guy who's obviously one of the better hitters in the league and an MVP candidate type of player, but, you know, how impressed are you just with his defense on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, man, what I would give to be 6'8". Anyway, no, he pairs that 6'8 with incredible athleticism. His arm is stupid. The defense is so underrated, but playing right field at Yankee Stadium isn't easy. It's a short right field, sure, but, you know, the ball gets out there quick. You're playing up against the wall all the time. And people keep testing Aaron Judge, who last year clocked 100 miles per hour on one of his outfield throws per Statcast. I don't know why they keep doing that. It's totally easy to overlook the fact that Aaron Judge is a great defender because he hits the ball a million miles, you know, away from home plate. But, you know, he's a guy who could win a Gold Glove at some point in his career just because of how adept he is in Yankee Stadium and in right field in general.
I'm talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Ledger about the Yankees, and they lost. They've got a couple games coming up against the Red Sox. Maybe that's where they right themselves. Maybe they get a little more, I don't know, locked in, intense, interested. But I thought coming into today, Brendan, that it being a Tanaka start, he's a guy that I figured, well, they can count on him. But, you know, he looked lost out there today. And if the Yankees can't count on Tanaka, then how concerned are you about their starting pitching?
Super concerned, especially with the Red Sox coming in. The Red Sox have gotten off to a slow start, but they're still healthy. Like, that's still a healthy team, and they're really going to start rolling. Tuesday, the Yankees are not a healthy team. They're going to be in some trouble if they don't all step it up. Now, the starting pitching, it's been a problem. Jay Happ, that contract, I mean, okay, we're three starts into a two-year
right.
contract. It's a little early to be going nuts, but he's really had it rough lately. James Paxton, who will start the second game against the Red Sox, talks today about pitch-tipping and about dealing with playing in New York.
Yeah, the pitch tipping doesn't worry me so much. I saw that Carlos Beltran, our old friend Carlos Beltran, seemed to be you know, how much scouting is he doing? How much is he around the team that he's catching things like that?
Well, I mean, he's watching video all the time. He wasn't out in Houston, but he's, you know, around the front office. He's got an iPad. He's got a password to their internal server. He's hooked in. He's watching this stuff all the time. He loves it, and he's got a reputation around baseball for being really good at guessing pitches and figuring out how to, you know, pitches that are being tipped. But again, back to Paxton, you know, he's talking about the difficulties of pitching in New York. He's three starts in.
Yeah, that's concerning.
And you want that kind of stuff as a media member from players. You want them to be honest. You want them to open up to you. But you wonder if he's thinking about this stuff already.
Yeah.
And talking to a sports psychologist about it. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a Sonny Gray part two, but I mean that's where your mind jumps to, just because you have, if you're a Yankees fan, you have PTSD over the last guy Yankees brought in.
Yeah, no, that was concerning when he's talking about. But you hope that, I don't know, maybe that works. Maybe he is, you know, it's good talking to a sports psychiatrist. You take care of it right away. And maybe with the pitch tipping, he takes care of that. With Tanaka today, I know he talked after the game about feeling kind of lost with his split finger, with his split finger fastball. Anything, any sense of what you can do to get that feel back?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is going to get blown up at headlines with, you know, Tanaka loses splitter. And, you know, the next time he goes out, he'll have the splitter.
We shouldn't be too worried about that.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
This happens to him every now and then. He really also lost his command of the strike zone today. You know, usually when he doesn't have that splitter, he can fall back on. He can fall back on his slider. He didn't have that today. It's just one of those, you know, trash days a player has every now and then. I wouldn't be worried about Tanaka losing his splitter. This happens to him every now and then.
All right. Now, what about a Gio Gonzalez update? Anything in terms of, you know, we know the Yankees have him on that minor league deal at the moment. What is it? April 20th? Is that the date that he has, that he gets an opt out?
The opt out is April 20th. If the Yankees put him on the major league roster, he'll be making a $3 million base salary, which, okay, not a huge deal, right? But then $300,000 per start. $300,000. That's a lot of money. I really would think that the Yankees don't want to do that. I would think that they'll treat him like a, you know, in case of emergency, break glass. I think they'll go with a Domingo Herman. I think they'll go with a Jonathan Lysica. Not because Gio Gonzalez couldn't be a solid pitcher, but I mean, geez, $300,000 per start.
So do you expect them to put him in the bullpen as a break the seal just in case starter, or do you expect them to let him go after April 20th?
That's a great question. Maybe they let him go and renegotiate something else. I don't know how much relieving he's done in his career. I haven't looked at it. And he's stretching out as a starter right now with AAA. So maybe they put him in the bullpen. Maybe. But who's to say that his left-handed, soft-tossing nature is better than, say, a Joe Harvey as an ace guy or a Stephen Tarpley as an ace guy.
Yeah. Before I let you go, a little feel-good story here is CC Sabathia and everything he went through. What was the reaction yesterday and the reaction today, even around the clubhouse and his teammates for CC?
I mean, they're just excited to see CC healthy and see him contributing and see him doing what he loves to do. This is CC's last season. He's got to be wanting to go out on a high note. You wonder if it's in the back of his mind that if he can string together, you know, a 3.4, 3.5 ERA, 15 some on wins, if he leaves on some kind of high note, if Hall of Fame voters in 5 years will look at him kind of like a Mussina when he won 20 mm-hmm. games in his final season. There's a CC wants to accomplish a lot his last year. This is a big step toward it, and the whole Yankees clubhouse was excited in Houston. I was talking to Andy Pettit about, you know, what it was like hearing his good friend CC Sabathia damn near just had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And Pettit was pouring his heart out, saying how tough it was for him to deal with that because his own father had serious heart trouble when he was just 48 years old. So you never know how this kind of stuff affects someone player to player because you don't know about their family history. And so when they all look at CC Sabathia and the kind of guy he is and the competitor he is, you know, it's just it's a ray of sunshine in this so far kind of dark season for the Yankees.
Yeah. All right. You're always a ray of sunshine. There you go. Brendan Cuddy with The Ledger. Appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
You're leaving me blushing. Thank you, Lori.
Time for an update with Peter.